If you're taking notes, I want you to title it, this message today, That Saturday Life. That Saturday Life. What I pray this morning, Genesis Church, is that in the short time that we have to study Scripture together, that your heart is encouraged. How many of you guys could use some encouragement this morning? Let me tell you, this week was crazy for me. So I needed some encouragement through the week. And I believe that the word that God has dropped into my heart for us today will leave you encouraged. Mark chapter 4, we've been living in this space of the parable of the mustard seed. And this word is just growing and growing and growing in my heart. And I spoke with staff on Monday night at staff meeting about seeds. We talked a little bit last Sunday about seeds. In church, I really think that we underestimate the power of seeds. Like, that thought is growing and growing and growing in me of what God can do with a tiny little seed. I don't know what you walked in here with this morning, but I know that each person in here, you have some sort of gift that's in your hand. You have some talent. You have some, you see something on the news and it breaks your heart and you're like, goodness, I wish I could do something about that. There are seeds that God places into our hands. Scripture tells us that he who is faithful with little things will be made ruler over much. Genesis, a seed is a little thing with unlimited, untapped, unknowable potential. I read this one time, and maybe you've heard this. It's probably on some Facebook meme or a bumper sticker or somebody's refrigerator, probably your grandma's, because it's kind of a cheesy quote, but it makes sense. He said, you can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you cannot count the number of apples in a seed. Which is totally true and sounds like just total grandma bumper sticker, doesn't it? You can count the number of seeds in an apple, but not the number of apples in a seed. But I just like haven't been able to stop thinking about that crazy, cheesy quote. There are things that God has placed inside of our hands, Genesis, and inside of your hand, and inside of your neighbor's hand, and inside of your coworker's hand, and your auntie's hands, that have unknowable potential. And I believe for you and I, it is up to us as the church of God to be faithful with these seeds and to plant these seeds. Jesus tells this story of the mustard seed. This is Mark 4. With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, not when you hold the seed in your hand long enough, not when you pray over the seed long enough, not when you go to so-and-so's ministry rally and he prays over your seed. I'm not against any of those things, but Scripture doesn't say when you hold on to it for a long time. It says, yet when it is sown, it grows up, becomes larger. Larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Part of what this story, the process that is often overlooked, is this process of patience with what God is doing with a seed. And I hope I can connect this to your hearts this morning, Genesis. That there's patience involved when you're planting a seed. And who knows what the length of time is on how long that seed is in the ground. But there is a process that the seed must go through in order for life to spring out of it. That seed has to go into the ground, and in order for that seed to bring life, it has to die itself. The seed itself must die before life can come from it. I know that there are that there are countless stories in here, countless people who walked in with stories and life experiences where it seemed as though something that you laid into the ground, something that you sowed, something that you gave to God, some energy that you put into building something, whether it was a business, whether it was a marriage, whether it was a friendship, whether you might be in here and have started a ministry and it has since closed its doors. And you feel as though, and you wonder, and you work through in your mind, did we waste that time? Did I miss what it was that God had for me? There was an opportunity that maybe you didn't take. You had an opportunity to go here, or you had an opportunity to say this, and you feel as though, because of some action that you took, you have missed, and now you've spent your life playing catch-up to the will of God. Has anybody ever felt that in this room this morning? A seed's got to die, yo. It's a process. Jesus says, yet when it is sown into the ground and it grows, which connotes a process of time, it grows and it becomes larger. But we're not too good at patience. We're not too good at that. One of the biggest beefs that I have with young ministers, and I try to have this conversation as often as I possibly can, is that God... I see this happen over and over and over. God plants a dream and he plants a ministry and a passion and a vision into the heart of a young man or a young woman. And then they assume that next week they're going to be Billy Graham. Well, I got news for you. That's not the way it works. What I wish I could tell every young minister, if you're in here this morning and you're a young minister, what I wish I could say to every one of them is that there's a time for humility and learning and patience and growing. There's a time where that seed is in the ground and it is cracking open and life is coming from it and it is putting roots down in the ground. Trust me, you don't want that plant to sprout up unless it has a deep root system. Some of you right now are in the process of your roots going down into the dirt. You maybe you're at this point in the process, you've planted the seed, you've sown it. And now you're praying, and it seems as though there's no growth, nothing's popping out of the soil, but you're in the process of developing a root system. You're in the process of learning what it is to lean into the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. You're in the process of creating things that can draw nutrients from the soil of the Word and that can draw nutrients from the soil of the Spirit of God who speaks life into you. As I was prepping for this, it took on a much more prophetic tone than I thought that it would. But I believe, and as I've been praying through this, that the Holy Spirit just wants to declare things to you and speak life into your process of patience. Three of the most important days, I would say the three most important days in history, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday period. Jesus dies on a Friday. We love to talk about Friday. It's when Jesus, he executes the focal point of his mission. He did a lot of things in three or so years on this planet, but it's on a Friday that he executes the main objective of his mission. And we talk about this, Jesus going to the cross. We talk about Jesus taking on the sin of the world. And we celebrate this, and rightly so. He took on your sin. He took on my sin. And he went to the cross and he laid down his life, executing the main objective of his mission here on earth. Sunday. Gosh, we love talking about Sunday. Sunday is life. Sunday is resurrection. Sunday is what sets Christianity apart from every other religion on the planet. That God not only became a man, which was foolishness to the Gentiles, that God could become a man. No way. And then that God would die was a stumbling block to the Jews. Foolishness to the Gentiles, a stumbling block to the Jews. And we celebrate Sunday. But there's this day, Saturday. that just gets overlooked. Why is there Saturday? Saturday is terrible. Think about Saturday in the process of what the disciples are experiencing. For everything that they know, God failed on Friday. They haven't seen Sunday yet. Right? They don't know. They heard Jesus say cryptic things like, I'll tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. And they're like, wow, you have a really good building crew. Hook me up with your contractors. I got a house to build. Jesus, who had poured his life for 3 years into these men. 3 or so years. He wasn't even good enough at training them. If you look at it from a natural perspective, he wasn't even a good enough trainer to keep his team with him when he died. They're just living this, well, I guess, you know, if we could have just convinced one more person, if we could have just got the Pharisees on board, if we could have just convinced the powers that be in Rome, if we could have just done like one more thing, maybe he wouldn't have had to die. I mean, I'm just imagining all these questions that I probably would have been thinking about. But for all intents and purposes, it was over. I mean, wasn't it? Then Saturday comes. Nothing. I think what we do with Saturday sets us apart and determines if we will ever accomplish everything that God has asked us to do. For you and I, Genesis Church, to accomplish what God has asked us to do as a church, for you to accomplish what He has tasked you to do, you must learn what to do with Saturday. You must learn things that you'll have to fight on Saturday. Because we got Friday Christians and we got Sunday Christians. Here's Friday Christians. When you're experiencing pain, loss, death, mourning. By the way, the majority of the Psalms are about those things. So in case you experience that in life, you're not the first person. You're not even the first person to write a song about it. Dashboard Confessional got nothing on King David. Anytime I can slip a Dashboard Confessional reference... Yo, Wednesday night, Phil Joel was here, and he did an acoustic version singing Entertaining Angels. Entertaining Angels. And I was like, middle school. Just weeping at youth camp, reliving these years. But experiencing loss, experiencing just a struggle in life. You got Friday Christians, and here's Friday Christians. Well, brother, in this life, we will experience trouble. It's because of the fall of man. It's because of sin that we experience these things. And it's just our lot in life as humans. And on this side of eternity, this is just how it gets to feel. They tell like half of the scriptures. You know, they don't talk about the second half of the scripture. And if you're around Friday Christians a lot, man, I can understand why you walked away from watering the seed. Friday Christians are depressing, bro. But they're everywhere. And they could show you all the scripture references that you need to believe that Friday Christianity is the way to go. On the other side, you got Sunday Christianity. You got Sunday Christians who walk around knowing that Jesus has resurrected. So since he's back to life, everything is okay. And if you're experiencing some sort of suffering, it's your fault. You don't have enough faith because Jesus already won, so why are you suffering? You got those Sunday kind of Christians who are insufferable people. Because in order to be a Sunday-only kind of Christian, you have to throw out all the scripture about suffering and loss and mourning and how Jesus is there with us in the moment. You got to throw all that stuff out. So in one place, you get depressed Christians who walk away from sowing seed. Those are Friday Christians. And then Sunday Christians, you got a bunch of people who don't sow seed anyway because it's already been won, so it doesn't even matter. And you just pretend like everything is hunky-dory all the time. How are you, man? I'm just blessed and highly favored of the Lord, brother. Yeah, your wife just left you. I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, do you want to have a conversation or something? I think you get Friday Christians and you get Sunday Christians because people don't know what to do with Saturday. You either walk away from sowing your seed or you pretend that you don't need to water it because we don't know what to do with Saturday. We don't know what to do when it seems as though that it's over. I believe there is a city full of people waiting to see our answer for Saturday. They need to see a God. They need to see somebody, people, representatives of God, not denying what is going on around them. This is what Sunday Christians do. They deny what is going on around them. Friday Christians refuse to acknowledge any hope of Sunday. Why Saturday? You know, Jesus going into the ground as seed released life onto planet Earth that we are all still living in. Was him going into the ground. And I love the fact that Scripture tells us that Jesus died, went into the tomb, went into hell, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and then was resurrected on Sunday. C.S. Lewis, he poses this thought, that Jesus went into the tomb, and in death he was searching for the first Adam. And C.S. Lewis says this, Jesus had to go into the grave because if you can find Jesus in the grave, if you can find him even there, if you can find Jesus even being the Lord of death, then there is no place that he does not exist. If you can find Jesus even in death, this is where a hope springs from, that there is no place that Jesus has not conquered. Jesus is the God of Friday. He's the God of Sunday. And bless him, he is the God of Saturday. There is a city full of people who not just need to see a loving and compassionate and willing God, but they need to see a God who is full of power, who is not just willing, but is able to lift them. He's not just willing, he is able. And he is willing and able to sustain them by his mighty hand. And he is willing and able not just to be the God of Friday and not just to be the God of Sunday, but to be the God of Saturday as well. You may be here this morning and it might be Saturday in your life, but you need to know that God is still God even though it's Saturday. So what to do with Saturday? Jesus, when he encounters this Gadarene demoniac in Mark chapter 5, this guy from the region of the Gadarenes who is demon-possessed. For the sake of time, we're not going to read the whole story. But this is kind of a Saturday moment. He's demon-possessed. Jesus shows up, heals him. And then he asks Jesus. Jesus comes in and does this miracle, this incredible thing. He frees this guy from something he hasn't been able to get free of. All the wisest people in the village haven't been able to help him. They've tried and they gave up trying to help this guy because he was so jacked up. They're like, we can't do anything for this guy. He's running around the tombs cutting himself and breaking chains and wailing. And he lives in a tomb. God, Jesus shows up, God in flesh shows up and heals him. This is Mark 5, 18. As Jesus is getting into the boat to leave that area, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might go with him. He begged him. I got to imagine this guy getting on his knees, like there's just darkness all around him. And it's just, he's just experienced power that he's never seen. He's like, please let me go with you. Please. Jesus, you've shown up in my life in power and I need this. I need you. Begs him. Verse 19. Jesus did not permit him. Jesus goes, no. And then just leaves. He says, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Go home to your friends. Tell them. Go back to 19. Go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. Go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. You know what I believe this encounter to be in this man's life? He had the opportunity to see it. It's Friday. Jesus is gone. Jesus just leaves the guy. He just takes off. It's over. I had a taste. I had a glimpse. The world had 3 years. They had a taste. They had a glimpse. And Jesus is just gone now. This guy had a taste. I had a glimpse. I saw his power. I felt it. Now he's gone. There's this whole entire Saturday period. Because what this guy doesn't know is that later on in Mark chapter 8, Jesus is going to come back and he won't be greeted by one demon-possessed man. He will be greeted by crowds of people waiting to hear Jesus. That's a Sunday moment. But on Saturday, this is what this guy does. Verse 20, he went away and he began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. What to do with Saturday? Friends, I would pose this to you. This is how people who are effective in their lives operate on Saturday. This is how people who will step into, by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, who will step into what it is that God has for them. This is the action, the proper action of people on Saturdays. Is this, go tell your friends everything the Lord has done. Go and tell them everything the Lord has done. It's easy to get caught in the, but what if God doesn't do this at some point? That's Friday Christianity. Here's what I know. There are some people here this morning that in your life it's Saturday. I could not get away from those words as I was studying this week. Go and tell your friends what the Lord has done. You know what you're going to look like when you go tell your friends what the Lord has done? You're going to look like a fool. Because they know your story. They know what just died. And for you to show up and start telling them what the Lord has done, you're going to look insane. What to do with Saturday? Saturday is a day to tell the world what the Lord has done. The kind of people that we need to be, the kind of church that I see, is full of people who refuse to be silenced on Saturday. Who refuse to be silenced on Saturday. We're going to sing until our voice won't let us. As thunders roar, I'll shout your praise. You're the God of everlasting wonder. Your glory outlasts the end of days. put that in your Saturday morning coffee. What if you were the person who on Saturday just refused to be silenced? What if that was you? What would your life look like, do you think? What would your relationships look like? If no matter what day of the week it was, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday, whatever day it was, you were the kind of person who refused to be silenced. If you were the kind of person who constantly was declaring what the Lord had done, who regardless of what external circumstances were saying, regardless of how patient you have been, regardless of how long that seed has been in the ground, regardless of your friends going, is that ever going to happen? Would you just give up on that already? That time is gone. What if you were the kind of person who even through all of that, you refused to stop declaring what the Lord had done? What if? I see a church full of people who refuse. The time for the church to be silent is over. What if that Saturday life, what if that Saturday life for you was a life of rejoicing? Choosing to tune out and drown out the voices that would try to have you walk away from watering, you see. What if you just spent life rejoicing? Can we stand?